I put before you the 111th and the 112th Psalm, Kuf Yud Aleph and Kuf Yud Bet. And I wanted to lay it out for you side by side so that you would have a chance to see that these are actually twin Mizmorim. Besides the fact that they are both written in the form of Aleph Bet, so half the Pasuk is Aleph, the next half is Bet, Gimel, Dalet, and so on. The last two are longer psukim, in which there's three letters per pasuk. So you could see that there's pei, tzadik, kuf, in pasuk tet, and resh, shin, and taf, in pasuk yud. The issue of aleph bet, as the totality of existence, having the world been created with 22 letters of the aleph bet, and dividing them into 10 verses, where 10 is a magical number, not only because of the 10 commandments, but as it tells you in Pirkei Avot, Be'asara ma'amarot nivra olam, with 10 expressions, with 10 words. God said, let there be 10 times. Okay, that's how the world is created. So you have that double 10 plus 22, almost a grid, if you like, which indicates that this covers all of existence. But if you notice carefully, you'll see that Kuf Yud Aleph is the topic of the entire Mizmor, is God and His praises, in which the poet thanks Him and describes His qualities. Whereas in Kuf Yud Bet, the subject is the God-fearing man. And here there are praises of that person and indicating what his reward and what his destiny ultimately is. The purpose of putting these two together is that there is a worldview that man living up to his potential for which he was created mirrors God. He is created in His image, and it is His job to imitate His Creator. So there's a lot of similarities between the two. Today, we will do a great deal of work on Kuf Yud Aleph, on the 111th, and hopefully we'll have a chance to get some done also in Kuf Yud Bet. Of 150 Mizmorei Tehillim, 9 of them are written in the order of Aleph Bet. We already talked about the fact that the book of Eicha is written in Aleph Bet, in which there are 22 times 7. Some of them are in the exact order. Some of them have a switching of the order. The third chapter is Aleph, 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 Bet, 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 in triple order. And the last chapter of all is 22 verses with no order of any kind, indicating that chaos has been unleashed in the world. It is Rashi, by the way, who is the first that notes that these two are twins and are related to each other. And he explains accordingly that they were put in this order specifically for you to be able to see them. Hadak says that the order of Aleph Bet was not a contrivance. It's an indication that this is extremely powerful and important. His words are nechbadim. These are the tenets of Judaism, and that therefore one needs to know them, and they are put in that order. Odeh Hashem b'chol levav b'sod yesharim ve'eda. Now, the first part is relatively simple. Odeh Hashem b'chol levav, I will thank God. But the word thank, mudim, anachnu lach, or hodaya, toda, is actually a two-sided word that has both the meaning of thank you, as well as vidui, acknowledgement. Because to say thank you without acknowledging what you're thanking for is meaningless. When you've done something for somebody, you hope that they actually noticed what it is that you did. And so when you acknowledge what they've done, I loved the bowl you gave me, how thoughtful of you to do X, Y, Z, and you mention it by name, people respond to that, because gratitude that just says thank you without acknowledging what the thank you is for means that you're really not conscious of what it is that that person has done for you. And that's why Chazal tell us that we are not called, based on our tribe, Binyaminim. We're not called Ashrim, Danim. We're called Yehudim. because apam hodet Hashem, this time I will thank God. And in Yehuda's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's the name of Hashem, plus the Dalet. So in order to be able to really be grateful, you have to recognize what it is that you have. And you have to, in a sense, acknowledge it. Acknowledge it not merely in your mind, but also sometimes in with your lips. If one would make a list of the things they have, they would perhaps be a little bit less hungry, a little bit less depressed, a little less deprived. I will thank God, b'chol levav. And the double bet in levav is the same thing that you say, b'chol levavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha. And therefore, many of our mefarshim say, b'yetzer hatov, says the Me'iri, u'b'yetzer hara. I thank God, both with the yetzer tov, which is a completely spiritual existence, and also with the yetzer hara, if you want, with my physical desires. Mm-hmm. If somebody prepare a good meal for you, and you decide to be an ascetic, and you're so spiritual that you don't want to give yourself a chance to relish in it, you are, in fact, throwing them in the face. So if somebody's made a meal for you, and you indicate that you're eating it with good appetite, and isn't this wonderful, and isn't this delicious, ditto for the gifts that the Rabbanu Shalom gave us. V'hitanakta al Hashem Elokecha. You shall take pleasure in what God gave you, recognizing that God gave it to you, but enjoy it. The idea is not for you to somehow be so spiritual that you've lost it all. Okay, and where should you do this? Besod yesharim ve'eda. Besod can usually mean in the secret, but it means in the society, in a closed society, in the company of yesharim, of honest people, of good people. Meaning within your own clan, people of your kind, but also ve'eda, with the entire congregation. So that this type of gratitude should be expressed both within, if you like, the familial or in the religious unit, but also to give that notice out there to everybody else. And Selma tells us, therefore, that part of what we need to do is express this gratitude. The Sod Yesharim, he says, are those who understand the way of God, understand his secrets, but also with a general populace that are not necessarily so knowledgeable. So I'm going to be thanking God with all my heart and soul and body, both within and with out. That's my mission as Gdolim Maasei Hashem Drushim Lechol Chafzehem. Rabbi Shimshon Raphael here says that the word Gadol implies their importance. And he says every creature, the most minute one, the one that you don't understand why God made him, be he, you know, the bacterium, the mosquito, or gosh knows what, has a role, has an importance in the eyes of God. Drushim lekol chafzehem, gdolim maaseh Hashem, the deeds of God, whatever he made, are needed, wanted, sought for all of their needs. Chefetz is their needs. It's a difficult phrase here. Comes the Malbim and tries to explain this to us. And he says as follows. Maasim are something that God finished. He made it, and he no longer needs to touch it. It will function on its own. It is what it is right now. So, earth is there. The revolving of the earth, its function, okay, the object itself is fine. The empowerment of the object is called pe'ulot. And we will soon see pe'ulot here. It's their actions, their function. And those things, God invisibly is the hidden hand that continues to fuel them, energize them. So, Maase is earth itself. The revolving of earth around its axis and then around the sun is the pe'ula that the Ribbono Shel Olam does. Nifla'ot are wonders. Those wonders are when God intervenes in a palpable way that seems to defy the laws of nature. The pi'ula functions through the laws of nature and physics that he has implanted here. So the tide goes in, the tide goes out. You understand? The process of photosynthesis that has been put in, all of these things are energized by the Ribbono Shel'olam, but they operate according to the laws. Those are called pe'ulot. Nifla'ot is when suddenly the sea splits. When the process that is natural and the prognosis of a disease that seems to be following the normal rules suddenly defies all scientific explanation and somebody is healed, and then suddenly you notice that the tumor is gone. Those are nifla'ot in which it seems that the normal processes of creation have been disrupted. And those are those rare occasions when you get a miracle that defies explanation, and which, by the way, we in our own lifetimes have seen. You don't have to go all the way to history. In your personal lives, you can sometimes see this, and you say, this is absolutely miraculous. And as a nation, we have seen things that have defied explanation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you didn't have to go very far. 1948, 1967. The things that we saw that made no sense. It did not make sense. It was against all odds. Now he also tells us as follows. Lechol ma'aseh yesh chefetz. Every ma'aseh has a want. And that want in this case means a tachlis. Nothing here is by accident. It has a purpose. If this is true of every bug, how much more so for every person? Nobody is extraneous. Everybody that's here is necessary. In addition to being necessary, it has a tachlis. It has a purpose. So the seat, the chair, was designed so, and this is what he writes, was designed so that you would sit on it. That is its purpose. You may want to stand on it to take a book as well, but its purpose was originally to sit on, okay? There are some ma'asim, some things that God made, acts that he's made, that have several, multiple chafatzim. I just gave you an example of that. They have multiple usages. I can sit on the chair, but I can also stand on it. Hashem did not create this world because he needed it. He was independent of it. You understand? He did not need it. But the purpose for which it's created is inherent in the creation itself, in the thing that he made, in the creature, in the object itself. It's there. It needs to be actualized. That potential has to be actualized. So what is it saying here? Ibn Ezra explains, Ma'ase Hashem, the works of God, are drushim. They're needed. And they're needed for the purposes, for the chafatzehem, for the purposes for which they were made. So we can say, why did I need this? Why did God make this thing? We don't know it. It is our job to determine what it is there for. What tachlis is in it. Ma'ase Hashem ptuchim, says Radak. The works of God are open for all who want to understand them. So through the study of nature, through the study of science, one can perhaps discover what it was for. It's fantastic to see, for example, that fentanyl or things of this kind come from the from certain kinds of toads that are found in the Amazon, which paralyzes their prey. So you'd say that it's a terribly dangerous creature. But look how we've been able to use that and bring it about. So all that God made then eventually was made also for us. Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch reads it differently. He says, for every creature, small or big, God saw to it that all of its needs would be met. And we say it in Tfilah when we make that special Yerotzen. We say, you are the one that feeds from the tiny mosquito to the biggest elephant. And in the book of Eov, since he couldn't understand why certain things were happening to him, God said, did you pay attention how I take care of the antelope when she gives birth? Do you notice how I worry about the little rabbits and how they're going to survive the winter? The Ribbono Shel Olam has created all of the chafatzim. So the question is, whose chafatzim are we talking about? You see, and in his case, he doesn't treat the word chafatzim as tachlis, the way Malbim does. He says their needs. He provided for all of their needs. So we saw that the word chafatzehem can mean the need of the creature that he made, or the purpose for which it was made. Drushim is either what the creatures themselves need, or what we human beings seek, want to understand what use they have, what's the purpose of them, when we search nature. Hod vehadar poalo, vetzidkato omedet la'ad. Says Radak, if a human being would just observe what God has made, the heavens and the earth and all their realms, he would see the beauty, the majesty that's in it. And it is the way in which the Ribbono Shel Olam manifests himself. The Malbim explains, however, that Hod is internal. Hadar is the part that radiates out and that shows up. In a human being, we would speak of the inner beauty and the outer beauty. In seeing nature, sometimes you can see, if you're looking at the volcano, that incredible force that's within it. You understand? And you have a chance to kind of look at it and see that Hod. And then the Hadar is when it explodes and you're getting that explosive power of it. But Tzidkato Omedet La'ad. And the word Ve is that this world is not only stunningly beautiful and has hidden secrets in it, but that the divine justice with which it was made is immutable. It seems to alter. Things live, they die. But the one thing that withstands forever is God's righteousness. The word righteous is not appropriate because it means tzedek. It's this justice. And Rabbi Shimshon Yisrael Hirsch explains that God's love, a love that vindicates, remains forever and cannot be changed. It never stops. And he made a remembrance for all of his wonders. What are the memories that we have? Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. Says Rashi, he made Israel Moadim, Shabbatot, and Mitzvot, by which you are to remember. Tizkor ki eved hayita be'eretz Mitzrayim. Remember that you were once a slave. Zachartat yom tzedcha mimitzrayim. Remember the day you left Egypt. Zecher lemaase bereishis. Remember how the world was created. The Ribbono Shel Olam established commemorations for his miracles when he showed himself, not in the hidden hand of nature which operates by law, but by breaking those laws of nature to indicate that there is a master to those laws. And there, what did he do? Chanun v'rachum Hashem. And he showed himself not to be indifferent like nature, because nature does not differentiate between the good and the bad, but rather he showed himself at that point to be loving, compassionate, empathetic, and therefore violating the rules of nature for those who call out to him. Hadak then says, having described God's action in nature, in the first verses, he now moves on to something called Hashgacha, among the chosen ones, and they are Yisrael. What did he do? Teref Natan Li'ireav. He gave them food to those that feared him. And this is a reference now to the man in the desert. Some point out, interestingly, that the word teref, prey, means something that an animal would hunt for. And it means that I have to be able to kill something in order to feed. It's actually true. In other words, it was not only that he provided them man, but in order to be able to get them out of Mitzrayim, it took the killing of their oppressors. It took vindication and vengeance against those that had hurt them. So he did that. Teres natan li'ireav, yisko le'olam brito. And as he had done once, so he will again remember forever his covenant. Remember that there was a promise made. a promise made to Abraham, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov, that he would always be with them. And so as he had done it once, he would continue to do so again. You understand? It was not something that would happen once and never again. Koach ma'asav higid la'amo. And in that special relationship that he has, not only with all creatures, but now specifically for his chosen one, he taught them koach ma'asav, the strength of his power in creation. And he told it to his people. When did he tell them? So some say this is nothing more than a reference to Matan Torah. Others yet point out that something else is the case. Rashi quotes this verse, Koach ma'asav higid la'amo, latet lahem nachalat goyim, to give them the inheritance of other nations. The very first Rashi in Bereshit tells us, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak asked, why is it that the Torah begins with the creation? It should begin, if it's a book of law, with the first law, which is Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim, this is the first month. Why then is it beginning here? Ki koach ma'asav higid la'amo. He wanted to tell his nation that all of the earth and everything in it does not belong to anybody, it belongs to him. And he will give it or take it as he sees fit. But this is not merely capricious. This is all done bitzedek. It is done with righteousness. That's why he told Avraham Avinu, this land that you see here is all going to become yours. But it's not going to happen now. It will happen only after a long process. Why? Ki od lo shalem avon ha'emori. Until the Emori had not filled up their quota of sinfulness, they had to lose the rights to the land before it would be given over to somebody else. So the Ribbono Shel Olam does not just give and take as capriciously. He does it on the scales of justice. And he taught it to us when he gave us the Torah. And therefore, what does he teach us? Ma'aseh Yadav, Emet u'Mishpat. He wanted us to understand that the works of his hands, even the miracles that he does, are also done with emes and law. It has to be done MS because, and we don't know what MS is because it's the longer view, the beginning, the middle, and the end. And on that basis, things are done. And furthermore, by the basis of law. Namely, that if people violate them, they lose their rights. So, as a result, the seven nations lost their rights to Eretz Yisrael only because they had reached such a low level of moral decadence. And only then could he take it away from them. Ne'emanim kol pikudav. All of his laws are faithful to what? To emes and mishpat. The laws that seem like they might be capricious ultimately have a purpose to those who actually fulfill them. We can't always see what the purpose is because we don't know what came before us. We don't know what goes after us. But they are purposeful. They are intended to help the creatures that he made. And Rashi, therefore, says, Smuchim la'ad le'olam, means that those laws are leaning on, are established on, are founded on emes and mishpat forever. Those laws are not just conventions, those laws are founded on emes v'mishpat. That includes both ben adam lechavero as well as ben adam lamakom. So while it may not make sense for us, while we can't eat certain foods, you're declaring here, and that's why I told you these are like tenets of the faith, that asuyim, they were made be'emes uv'yosher. They were made with truth and they were made with yosher. And I explained to you in the past, the shortest way between two spots is a straight line. The word yosher does not only mean honesty, integrity. It means it is a direct purpose. There's a direct link. So that everything that the Ribbono Shel Olam asks us to do has a direct purpose. That's what it's designed for. Pdut shalach le'amo. He sent a redemption to his people, And the question is, what are we talking about? Which p'dut and when? Tziva le'olam b'rito. He commanded his covenant forever. Kadosh b'nora shmo. His name is holy and awesome. Awe-inspiring. Explains that Mikra as follows. P'dut, a redemption, appears in every generation. Shebechol dor vador, omdim aleinu lechaloteinu. Just as you say on the Seder, every generation, new enemies rise up. V'hakadosh baruchu matzilem ne'adam. This was not only in the past, but because of this eternal covenant, the Ribbono Shel Olam comes again and again and again and saves us, sometimes after tremendous sufferings, sometimes after years of agony. Just like all of the 210 years in Egypt had God knows how many victims, how many babies in the walls of the pyramids that they built, you understand? Eventually a p'dut comes, so there is this constant, immutable hope, knowing that he will finally come to the rescue. And what did he command? What is this commandment? He commanded that his people would survive forever. Other nations and other empires would come and go. They will actually survive the worst. And why is that? For his name, and it was by his name that he gave that oath, that promise, is holy and awesome and cannot be changed. And therefore, Reshit Chochma, Yiras Hashem. You say every morning, Moideani Lefanecha, Reshit Chochma, Yiras Hashem. Is it the head, the top, like the top of a mountain? Or is it Reshit, the beginning? So the beginning of all wisdom is Yiras Hashem. The goal of all wisdom is Yiras Hashem. Explains Radak, Shmirat HaTorah VeHaMitzvot, that is Yiras Hashem. What is Yiras Hashem? It's keeping the Torah and all of the mitzvahs. But Chochma, says Radak, is the study of nature and science. And he tells us as follows, before you begin the study of nature, you need to have Yiras Hashem, or else you're seeing half the picture, not the hand behind it. The goal of the study of nature and science is Yiras Hashem. If not, you create the god-awful things that the Nazis did with Nazis. If there is no Yiras Hashem, and all you have is Chochmah, wisdom, then you have a desiccated wisdom that has no morality and can lead to the worst possible atrocities across history. So, Reshit Chochmah, Yiras Hashem, Sechel Tov Lechol Osehem. What's the Sechel Tov? Some say that the word Sechel here means success. Good success. Good success is promised as good reward to all who do them. Them being Chochmah and Yiras Hashem, or all of the mitzvot, the pekudim that he mentioned earlier. But others say it's good understanding. Because you see, it's called Nase v'nishma. The word Nishma can have two meanings, in the same way that Lir'ot can have two meanings. Yitzchak is blind, and yet when he smells his son Yaakov, he says, Re'eh, Re'ach b'ni, ki Re'ach ha'sadeh. Look, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that's been blessed by God. What do you mean, look? I see. Doesn't mean necessarily with my eyes. It means I comprehend. Nishma is lishmoa bikol. It means to obey, to heed. But it also means ani lo shomea, ke'en shomea. He does not hear. Not because he's deaf, but because he does not comprehend the language. He doesn't understand. It is sechel tov. It is good understanding of what God's wisdom is, of chochma niras Hashem, to whom? Lechol oseihen. If you do the mitzvahs, you can't explain first why and then hope that as a result somebody will do. You do, and in the process of doing, you come to understand why. The Sechel Tov only comes with the doing. Tehilato Omedet La'ad. Whose praises stand forever? Look in the context. Whose praise then withstands forever? It's a double entendre. It's both. And therefore, I refer you to the next mizmor. The next mizmor, by the way, did you notice that in both cases we do not have an author? Hallelujah. Ashrei ish yireh et Hashem. Happy. Affirmed is the man who fears God, who stands in awe of God. And how does he stand in awe of God? He just told us, Fono, remember? What is yiras Hashem? Lilmod, lelamed, lishmol, velasot. All of them together. That's called yiras Hashem. You can't have one without the other. It is all of that. B'mitzvotav chafetz meod. Remember how I use the word chafetzim? I want. All I want, my tachlis is, his tachlis is, to keep the mitzvot. And because it's now become part of him, it's as if he wants it because he needs it. And not only do I need it me'od. I need it with all my strength. I want to do it with all my strength. And that's why the Mefarshim tell us here that it's, he does it, says Ibn Ezra, with bechol me'odo, ve'ahavta et Hashem, bechol levavcha, uvechol nafshecha, uvechol me'odecha, with everything you've got. And that includes the physical. It's not just this ascetic life completely contemplative. It's how you make the simcha and how you rejoice, literally with your entire mind, heart, and body, even with your body, with the dancing. Kol atzmotai tomarna, all my bones sing God praises. Gibor ba'aretz yezaro, his children will become like heroes on the earth. Giants on the earth, great men on earth. Giborim, why? Some say, Me'ezahu Gibor, the one who can control his impulses. Gibor ba'aretz. If you teach your children this way, that's the case. Others say, no, just as the Giborim in other countries, the warriors, the sportsmen are admired. So, a person who keeps the mitzvot, does them with all of the gusto that's in his heart, his children will be honored, will be respected and admired like the heroes of old on earth. Dor yesharim yivorach. They will become a generation of honest, good people. Blessed, honest, good people. Telling us essentially that it's what we model to our children more than anything else that matters here. Malbim wants us to notice something incredible. He says, it says, Yare et Hashem. It doesn't say, Yare me Hashem. For there's a fundamental difference. Yare me Hashem means you are afraid of God and what he might do to you. It means that you're afraid of the punishment. Or you are working and doing what you're doing, intending on the reward. Yare et Hashem really means to stand in awe of God. To be so completely awestruck that his will becomes your will. You don't have any sense that what you're doing is against your own impulses. It becomes part of who you are and how you see yourself here. Malbim wants us to see the following. See, he says, the connection between verse 10 in Kuf Yud Aleph and what happens here in Kuf Yud Bet. He says, by Yiras Hashem one gets Sechel Tov, a good understanding. But he says, not just a good understanding. The more you indulge in mitzvahs, you develop your Ruach HaKodesh. And you develop this Ruach HaKodesh that's already inherent in you, that you can begin to see the mysteries, the secrets of why God made you to do what he did, of what's behind creation. And as a result, you cannot help but want to fulfill those mitzvahs. Chafetz. And Malbim explains that the word chafetz then means a visceral. In the same way that you want a good piece of chocolate, is the same way you want to do that mitzvah. It becomes as much part of your own satisfaction in a way that is me'od, very much so. And a person of that kind becomes gibor. Sforno, his family having left in 1492 Spain and settled in Italy. Seeing what the church did to them, he says, a person who grew up in this fashion, his children will become giborim, not afraid of declaring their Judaism no matter where they are, not strong enough to be able to be proud of who they are, calling upon God's name wherever they happen to be, and reproving those who do evil, fighting against evil wherever they are, having that kind of courage. So he believes that those people are not just heroes, they are giborim, meaning they're courageous. They are brave. And then finally he tells us they will have dor yesharim mevorach. Chazal tell us that a person who fulfills the Torah with all of his heart and all of his soul is zoichet to having children who are given five gifts. Koach, physical strength. Osher, wealth. Mm-hmm. Noi, they're beautiful. Chochmah, they're smart and have long lives. Those are the brochas. But sometimes it only comes after another generation. Mm-hmm. So you may not see it now, but what you've done now, those chuyot follow through the many generations. And that's why it begins, his children are gogibor ba'aretz, the next generation is dor yesharim yevorach. So now it's like what happens to your grandchildren. And as a result, hon ze osher beveto. Explains Hadak as follows. Hon usually means a treasure. Osher means wealth is in his house. Hon is what you keep in the bank, your portfolio. Osher is what you actually allow yourself to eat, what you allow yourself to enjoy. And Chazal put a lot of stock in that. A beautiful home, a beautiful wife, beautiful utensils expand a person's mind. Ibn Ezra says, if he having been poor, if you made that treasure, if you made that wealth, honestly, without abusing people, without exploiting, then what happens? Betzidkato omedet la'ad. Hon ve'osher beveto. Your righteousness. Notice, not God. You see how it said it about God? Betzidkato omedet la'ad. Can you see? It's exactly opposite, the opposite side. Your righteousness stands forever, meaning it will take you to Gan Eden. Malbim tells us that these people who have hon, they're loaded, and they never have the schus to enjoy it. Either because they don't forgive themselves, or because they never got a chance to, and it's taken away from them. So you're being given here a case of having both hon, as well as osher, to have that treasury filled, and at the same time to be able to live it and share it with others. And as a result, what you'll see is, Zarach b'choshech or laisharim. Who will light up the darkness? Rashi says this is about God. To those honest people, God will show the light that enlightens the darkness. The darkness, meaning difficult times, or enlighten us to understandings that we otherwise would not have understood. Radak says, no, this is about Yireh Hashem. Yireh Hashem is given all of these gifts, but he's also given the gift of enlightening others, bringing that light to this world. He is imitating God. That's why in Lecha Dodi, you say, Kumi Ori, Uri Uri, Shir Daberi, get rise up my light. Wake up. Kvod Hashem Alayich Zarach. The glory of God shines on you. So the Yireh Hashem is given promises of material and familial gifts, but he's also being given the promise of being able to make a difference in this world, to lighten up the dark places by doing what? Chanun, Terachum, Vetzadik. By imitating his God and being merciful, loving, and righteous. Otherwise it was all a waste. Tov ish chonen umalve. What makes him, now that he's been given all of these capabilities, he's good if he does what? If he has pity and he gives loans. And why loans? because the poor man might be too ashamed to ask for a handout. So if you say, this is a free loan, pay it when you've got the money to pay me back, you've given him also some dignity in the process of loaning him. And though you know that the chances are very slim that he'll ever have the money to give back, you go ahead and you loan it against all of the odds. But at the same time, yechalkel dvarav b'mishpat. Yechalkel kalkala means economy. It means that he will weigh his words by law. As he does them, as he gives this gift, he's also careful about how he speaks to him. Mm-hmm. He does so in a manner that is compassionate, in a manner that is sensitive to the other person. So you speak in this particular fashion. But the Rashi says as follows. He says he needs to live, be generous with others. V'yechalkel dvarav. But as for him, he needs to be economically prudent. Mishpat, prudence. More generous with others and less so with himself, to live with the cheshbon. Radak says as follows. You give even if you know that the guy is not ever going to be able to pay it back. But I want to quote exactly what he says here. All the gifts that you give and all of your personal expenses, kol dvarav, one should do with judgment. You are not supposed to withdraw from pleasures of this world completely. You can't at the same time completely indulge too much. It has to be done with judgment. The midah shava, essentially, talking like the Rambam did about the golden mean. Mm-hmm. Similarly, when you give gifts to the poor, don't just spread it. Give a certain amount. Don't give too much. Use your judgment. So give something to everybody. And then give more to those things that you deem are important. Use your noodle. And if you do this, kileolam lo yimot, you shall never fall, because Hazal tell us, if you want to give, never give more than 20% of your income. I know that Rav Steinman argues that if somebody already has more than he could possibly consume in a lifetime, the law of 20% no longer applies. Kileolam lo yimot, he will never fall. Lezecher olam yeh tzadik, and he will be remembered forever as a tzaddik. So in the process of the giving, you also have to establish and make a mark on this world, leaving something here. Some say leolam means leolam haba. Most of the mefarshim say laolam hazeh veleolam haba. Nachon libo ubatuach. Rashi says he is faithful to his creator. His heart is established. It's set. Nachon. Batuach b'Hashem. He trusts Hashem. Radak tells us, as much as he has, don't ever trust your wealth. Don't trust your physical strength. Don't even trust that you can rely on your relatives or on those people who say they love you. Rak batuach b'Hashem. Because all of that can be taken away from you. And all of that can be fickle. As a result, samuch libo lo yira. If you trust only in Hashem in the final analysis, your heart can rely on it and never fear. Ad asher yir'e b'tzarav. Never fear until, in fact, you will ultimately see your enemies. And the word that's not mentioned is their downfall. May not happen now. May not happen in your lifetime. May happen in a few generations from now, but it will come. Pizar natan le'evyonim. He spreads it wide. Lefazel. So Radak explains, yes, he gives to everyone who puts his hand out. Ach lo mafriz, but doesn't exaggerate in the doing so. But when you do see evyonim, you do give that generously. And again, notice what he says again. Tzidkato omedet la'ad. That's tzedakah will withstand forever. Karno tarum bekavod. And ultimately, your crown, your horns, will again rise up with great honor in this world or in the next. Rasha yir'e v'chas. The Rosh at that time, he will see your comeuppance, the fact that you overcame, and he will rage. Shinaviachok. Teeth will gnash, okay? Venamas. And he melts inside. Ta'avat resha'im toved. And their lust will ultimately be eradicated. Two sides of a coin. Hashem and the Yireh Hashem, the human being, created in his image.